And we are going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, the passage that Jeanette read for us. Amen? And this is the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. And I really like this passage of Scripture because, you know, when we are asking something from God, we must make sure that first we're doing everything that He has called us to do. When people say, "Pastor, pray for me, I need a healing," well then I will say, "Is it okay if we anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith?" Why? Because the Bible tells us, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall raise them up." And so I'm not going to go asking God for something where He's already told me, "I want you to do this." That's like, "I hear what you're saying. I don't want to, but I do want your blessings. I don't want to be obedient to your word, but I do want your blessings on this." I'm always very careful to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to do first. Amen? And so we pray for strength to make it through the day. Lord God, let us maintain our Christian testimony throughout this day and hopefully, Lord, through the week. All right? And, I am so glad for God's faithfulness. I am glad that He doesn't use the first little excuse to declare that we are no longer His son or His daughter. There are churches that will teach, at the very first sin, you have lost your salvation. For how can you be saved in Jesus and sin? And of course, Paul tells us, you know, if any man says that he's without sin, he lies and does not the truth. And then he does tell us, but if we do sin, then if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. All right, so the Bible makes all of this very clear to us. But there are some churches that say, as soon as you sin, you lost your salvation. So Terry and I were a member of a little church over in Arkansas that every Sunday morning they had an altar call. And the church emptied out to a man, except for Terry and I, and they all ran to the front of the church to get born again. Because in that church, they were taught, you sin once, you've lost it. And so they go to church on Sunday morning, they go to the altar, they cry and they wail. I mean, there's real tears and wailing going on, and they get up and they feel good. Yes, now I have my salvation back. And somewhere around 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, they get mad about something, lose their salvation, and then they figure, well, we'll just live like the devil all week long and we'll get born again all over again next Sunday. And they did. That was the sinningest bunch of people that I ever worked with. Harry and I were the youth pastors in that church, and if there was any mischief about town, oh, somebody went to the stockyards and let all the cattle out of the stockyards, so now the cattle, thousands of head, are now roaming the streets of Morrilton, Arkansas. And I'd say, that's my boys. What a scream. Oh, yeah, yeah. They come in all beat up. Yeah. What were you doing? I had to set somebody straight about something. I thought, oh, man, the love of God is just flowing in this place. All right. So, anyhow, when it comes to us living a victorious Christian life, it's important, just don't be, God, I want to live a life that, you know, that you can use, that can touch others. Well, we better go to Ephesians chapter 6 first, because there's a list of things that he says we really need to do. And it's in the imperative in the Greek, which means you will do it. It's not, hey, I've got a good idea. No. Very rarely do you see the Bible saying, hey, here's a good idea. No, it's usually don't do it or you'd better do it. All right, and so here Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. All right, so whose strength are we worried about? Going to the gym, working up those muscles. No, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, is what the Bible says. But Then it says, this is how we are strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. And in saying that, Paul is saying there's nothing in this list that I'm about to give you which is, you can do it or not. Okay? This is not a smorgasbord of take what you like and leave the rest. This is what you put on the whole armor of God so that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And how many of you know, we're going to get in this in just a second, how many of you know that we're not battling with these people in the hallways that just seem to be set on stealing our joy? All right? That's not where the battle is. These people are pawns. There is somebody who's pulling their string, and it is not God. All right? And so the Bible says that the enemy comes to do three things. Kill, steal, and destroy. If he can't kill you, he's going to steal your joy. He's going to destroy relationships. And isn't that the kind of stuff that we deal with almost on a daily basis here? All right? And so for our struggle is not against enemies that are flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And there we have five levels of authority. Okay? So in Katy, Texas, we have a mayor. All right? And the mayor, he thinks he calls the shots. Actually, it's the city administrator that calls the shots, but that guy is not elected. It's the mayor that's elected. So the city administrator lets the mayor think that he's in charge. But everybody who lives in Katy knows who's actually calling the shots. But if you are in Houston, do you give one little bit of care about what the mayor of Katy does? That's Houston. We're Houston, we're big, Katy's just puny, all right? And so this is what we have. We have these spiritual authorities on each level until we get up to authorities that are celestial authorities, all right? These are big-time fallen angels. And it just goes down to their little imps and whatever down below them. But all of them are there to steal, kill, and destroy. Just what their job is, all right? Therefore, take up the whole armor. There is nothing here that you can say, no, I don't need this today. It's rubbing the wrong way on my foot, and so I'm not going to wear it today. Nothing is optional. This is all. Take on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. When is that evil day? Every day you've got to face the evil one. Amen? Every day you've got to face him is the evil day. So you take on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done all to stand firm. Alright? So, this is how this works. When we do everything that we're fixing to read about, that's my Arkansas coming through, my poor mother is rolling over in her grave. All right. When we do the things that we're getting ready to read about here, that's all well and good. You do that, and then you're probably going to have to deal with some oppression. But what are you doing that? At this point, God takes over, and so your responsibility is stand. You have done what God has told you to do. Now, he can step in and do what he does. Amen? All right? We need to learn to do that. We like to take matters into our own hands. This person needs a good choking. I'm the one to do it. Okay? And then you get called down to the office and the popo are there and, you know, all of that good stuff. So it's important for us to do everything that God tells us to do and then stand back and let God do his thing. Now, I told you all the story about Mr. McGuire that lived across the street from us, and he had a son who had polio, and he always felt bad about that because He could have had his son vaccinated, but he didn't. So his son got polio, and so he lost his arm, you know, down to his elbow. And this little guy just had an attitude. And he was always trying to pick fights with bigger guys and whatever. And so one day I'm walking home from school. I probably was fifth grade, sixth grade, something like that. It was a really long time ago. And this guy's little friend had told Mr. McGuire that my buddy had held his son down and I beat the fire out of him. And so the father was rightfully upset. Okay, and so he called me over, and so, yes, sir, no, sir, I'm listening to him. And then he yells over his shoulder to his wife, bring me the horse whip. Now, I don't know if this guy had a horse whip or not, okay? This is in the city. Not too many people carry horse whips in the city, but I was not sticking around to find out. And so I just wiggled out of his grasp and ran across the street, and I slammed the door, and I'm leaning up against the door. And my mother says, what's going on? I said, that guy across the street is after me with a horse whip. That's all I had to do. Oh, he is he? You stay here. That's it. Poke the bear. Okay. Now, I could have gotten up in this guy's face and, you know, telling him, oh, you hit me with that whip, I'm going to sue you, and, you know, all that good stuff. All right. But I got out of there, which is actually a good lesson when confronted with sin, was to say, flee the very appearance of evil. All right. There's a little hint there. But I told it to the one who could take care of things, and Mama went over there, and they had this nice, calm discussion, and after that, he didn't bother me anymore. All right, but we have to do first what God tells us to do if we expect His intervention in our lives. If we don't do what He has told us to do, and then we come to Him, then He, you know, He's just going to say, well, Mr. Big Shot, Miss Big Shot, you decided to handle it on your own? Deal with it on your own. See, we usually think about coming to God after we've really messed things up. Don't we? That's what we think. You know, like, I could have a V8. I could have prayed to God. You know, yeah. Now it's too late. All right. So, do these things, then. Okay, so let's see. He says, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. What is truth? God's word is truth. Truth is a character quality. Truth is also a spiritual entity. There's the spirit of truth. Some angel got the name truth, and I don't know exactly what his ministry is, but the Bible says it's the spirit of truth. Okay. So truth is a character quality. Our lives should be motivated by truth. We shouldn't have to take an oath in front of the court to tell the truth, because as believers, every word out of our mouths should be the truth. Amen? So we have to be prepared to share the truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is right living. It's our breastplate. What's your main armor back in the Roman days? What is your main defense, your main armor? Well, first you got to cover up the heart, the lungs, and the liver, and all that good stuff. All right, this breastplate is what's going to give you the protection against the assault of the enemy. And it is right living. You know, if you live your life right, then the Bible says you don't give the enemy an opportunity to blaspheme. It's when we don't live our lives right that we open up the door for the devil to come in and blaspheme God, because after all, God, there's that Dale down there, and look what he's doing. Yeah, he's a real Christian, isn't he? All right? So righteousness is our lifestyle. And I like the way that this particular version of the Bible translates this, and it says, and as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. and in the King James, put on the boots or the shoes of evangelism, okay, or the sharing of the gospel of peace. All right, well, be ready to share that gospel. It's the only thing that you really have that can help anybody. I mean, we are all full of suggestions. All right, you ask anybody, we can tell you how to do something better than the way you're doing it right now. Now, we just helpful people, aren't we? But the one thing that we should be ready to share is Jesus, the gospel, the good news, all right? And then with all of these, in other words, not a smorgasbord, you can't take and, you know, pick and choose. You have to pick up these things here. You've got your feet ready to tell them about Jesus. You're girded about with the belt of truth, and you have on the breastplate of right living, righteousness. And then with all these, you take on the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All right? And again, the shield is a defensive measure, isn't it? All right? The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, all of this are defensive measures to protect us. And what will faith do? Faith will help us to stand when we're the target of all those fiery arrows. You ever experience any fiery arrows from the enemy? Sure do. It can be somebody out there. It can be your own mind. Amen? And the devil likes to tickle my memories. Oh, remember when you did this? Yeah, I blew it big time, didn't you? All right? All these fiery arrows that the enemy is shooting at us, how do we withstand them? By faith. God says that I'm His child. God says my sins are forgiven. God says my home is in heaven with Him. And when you take that stand of faith, it will help you when the enemy is sending all these bad things. Yeah, I like fiery arrows, because fire burns, doesn't it? And when the enemy comes against us, it pains us. The memories of our past failures, the memories of things we could have done better, all of these things, and then the fiery accusations of things that we haven't done. All of these hurt when the enemy slings them at this. All right, with all these, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Then the helmet of salvation. You don't want somebody, you've got all this armor on here, and somebody takes a sword and there you go. There goes your head. Now you've got to have something on your head to pretend. What is that? The helmet of salvation. Amen. That is the thing. I belong to God. Devil, you can tell me whatever lies you want to. And believe me, that's all the devil can do. He is a liar and the father of all liars. Amen? And you have to know that you know that you know you know that I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And the Bible says I am accepted in the Beloved. Jesus is the Beloved. God looks at me. He sees me in the shed blood of Jesus. And in that shed blood of Jesus, He can't see through to my sins. My sins are no more anyhow. Amen. He sees me in the blood of Jesus, and He takes me to His bosom just like He would take His own son to His bosom. Amen. We are accepted because we are in Jesus. Amen. All right. And then lastly, an offensive weapon. All right. Well, it's nice having defensive weapons, but it's nice to get some licks in too. All right. So what can we do? What, you know, give us something. We've got to be able to crush this impudent little moron that is facing us off out there in the hallway. What can we hit him with? Give me a mace, Father God. Give me something I can crush his skull with. Well, go ahead and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What do we get to fight with? The Word of God. I can't crush any skulls, no. I can't run him through. No. All I can do is tell him the good news of Jesus. And guess what? Last thing that one of these celestial, malevolent angels needs is for one of their minions to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Oh, you have tweaked them good. Amen? That's what real warfare is. They think they've got all these minions running around bringing grief to Christians, but they don't realize is send more minions, because that gives us what we call in the military a target-rich environment. Okay? And now, oh, there's somebody that needs Jesus too. If we stop looking at them as people that are making our lives miserable, and start looking at them as miserable people who have been dominated by a power outside of them, and they may even think they're doing the right thing. They may think they're doing a good thing. But they are simply being used by someone who hates God. And because of that, he hates the God in you. Amen? And when we can tell them about Jesus and they get saved, oh boy. You know, I have a feeling, I may be wrong, I can't back this up with Scripture, but if the enemy sends enough of their minions after you, and you lead each one of them to Jesus, they may decide that that is a tactic that is backfiring on them. And we better not send any more minions after you, because you keep leading them to the Lord. Just an idea, all right? All right, and here again, pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. And again, let the Holy Spirit lead you. If you're standing face to face by somebody who's being motivated by some malevolent being, some devil out there, you're standing face to face to them, then, well, this is probably a good time to be praying. All right? The Holy Spirit is saying, okay, you've done all of this. Having done all, stand. And you release your faith into that situation. Not, oh God, may God strike you dead. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're praying contrary to the will of God. That's probably a prayer that won't get answered. All right? So anyhow, we pray as the Spirit is leading us at all times. All right? And then, to that end, keep alert, always persevere, in supplication for all the saints, and that's what we're doing with our little list, persevering, bringing these different saints up to God in prayer, all right? And pray, Paul says, pray for me also. I'm having a rough go of it. And so, when we want to go to God, and we need God's help, we have to make sure we have already done what he has told us to do. When we are prepared, when we prepare ourselves every morning, and there's actually classes that you can take, how to put on the whole armor of God every morning. And people pay to go to these seminars. I can just say, make a copy of this, take it home and read it. I've just saved you a couple $100, all right? All right. That when you do these things, when you recognize that my battle today is not with flesh and blood. My battle, whatever battle I face today, is going to be with principalities and powers. And Tara and I bought our daughter a t-shirt. And it says, Lord, let me be that woman that when I roll out of bed and my feet hit the floor, that the devils go screaming, oh no, she's awake. All right? And that is the woman and the man that each of us here can be. When we finally get it through us, it's not personal. It's not personal with the devil. He hates everybody. He does. And especially those that give themselves over to his service, he really despises them. You got the devil does not know love. He gave that up when he rebelled against God. All of these angels, one third of all the angels that rebelled against God, they gave up what love is. Oh, they can talk about lust and desire. They don't know love. And all they can do is reach out and hurt. And so to understand that the opposition that we face day by day is people opposing us because they are being spiritually abused. And God, and the God of this world is using them, abusing them, to try to steal our joy away from us. And so what happens is, putting on the whole armor, if you want to use that term, putting on the whole armor of God is actually a daily preparation for the battle that I'm going to face every day. And we all face these battles. And we will only be victorious when we let the Spirit of God step in and do what He's supposed to do. We do what we're called to do, and then it gets to the place, after we've done all of this, then it gets to the place where it says, in having done all, to stand. You've done everything God has asked you to do. Now you stand. Why? Because now it's God's turn. Have you noticed that there's one part of armor that Paul hasn't talked about? All right? When a Roman soldier would put on his breastplate, there was also a corresponding back to that. Christians don't have that. You know why? Because God's got you back. Alright? Which means you've got to, having done all to stand, stand, because you don't want to turn tail and run. There's no armor back there. You need to understand God is here. And I have gone way over today. I'm so sorry. But I just wanted to tell you, in the Six-Day War, they were talking about whole detachments of the enemy soldiers surrendering to two or three of the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, soldiers. And they couldn't understand why. I mean, they're outmanned, they're outgunned, the people have a good defensive place, and here they are surrendering to one or two of the Israeli soldiers. And when they got them back as prisoners and they began to talk about them, he says, you don't understand. Is we saw these two guys there, and then all the area, all the mountainside and everything behind them, just covered with angels. Warrior angels. We weren't afraid of them. We knew that we were fighting with God. And so we surrendered, all right? Now, these guys out in front here, they had no idea. Oh, look at that. They must think we're pretty tough because they're surrendering to us. No, because they had the spiritual realization that I'm not fighting with these two guys here. I might even kill these two guys here, but I don't want to answer to the 50 or 60 warrior angels that are sitting up on that hillside just waiting for the opportunity. All right. And so, we're going to, having done all, we're going to stand. Because God's got our back. As long as we don't let our personalities come into this, He is going to be able to reach out and do wonderful things. He is hurting that these people who are accosting us, He's not only hurting for us, He's hurting for these people that are coming against us. because he knows they have no joy, they have no freedom, they have nothing in their lives except bitterness and hatred and all this stuff because they're the servants of whatever. All right? So we do everything that we're supposed to do, then knowing that we've done everything, then, okay, Father, you say stand. I'm standing. Now I'm just trusting you, Father God. Amen? All right. We don't battle with flesh